Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. As we start, can you talk a little bit about your current role?
Sure. My name is Stephanie Broyles. I am the Chief Marketing Officer for Fidelis Cybersecurity. With that, encapsulates everything within marketing, product marketing, corporate marketing, analyst relations, PR, the gamut. So very busy and have a very strong team.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And can you maybe talk a little bit about your career trajectory? How did you get into cybersecurity marketing?
Sure, absolutely. In 2008, I was working for CA Technologies, now Broadcom. And I was in a senior leadership marketing role, field marketing role. And they asked me to take on a segment, which was security. We also did a layer 7 acquisition. And that's when I first, delved into incorporating an acquisition feature set into our, product line, if you will, and then building go-to-markets. So that's how I first got incorporated. After I left CA Technologies, I kind of fell in love with the space. It's a very interesting space, always changing. It's a horizontal play, so it really doesn't matter what segment. They kind of come at you the same way. I believed that there was depth and breadth and growth. At that time, I was focusing in public sector. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. I was focusing on public sector, and then I was given opportunities to also expand into commercial and global accounts, and even global positions. So after CA Technologies, which is now Broadcom, I did some consulting with some small private companies, found my way to FireEye, which was a tremendous opportunity. From FireEye, I then was pulled over to Palo Alto Networks. At Palo Alto Networks, moved into an enterprise North America role, very closely aligned with the field. Again, was asked, very focused on security, was asked to take on a cloud segment. So with that, my night job became my day job. And for the last 6 years or so, I've been focusing on cloud security. So, and when you think of cloud security, it's also hybrid, but ultimately the migration to cloud and everything securing our environments. It's really, really grown significantly over the last 24 months with all that's happened to us, working remotely, so on and so forth. But super happy to be where I am and the journey that has led me here.
Excellent, awesome. And well, it's a very interesting background and experience. And kind of from your vantage point, what would you recommend professionals who are maybe just starting a career or looking to transition, or maybe even students who are just looking at cybersecurity as a space with affinity to marketing, as they're just starting on their journey, what would you recommend they focus on?
Focus on any opportunity, whether it be internship, freelance, entry level, just like with any sale of a product, finding a point of entry and then expanding from there is where you want to go. It's an incredibly exciting field. It's not going to be changing. It's pretty recession proof. I mean, cybersecurity is not going away. So I absolutely would recommend it. There are a lot of great, depending on, if you're in college looking, there's a ton of internship programs, even with my company and other companies that I've worked for. So I would highly encourage those endeavors. I'm also a huge advocate. I love developing people. So, I welcome anyone who's interested, and I can make introductions in certain areas, depending on where you're based. So much of our life right now is remote, but there will be some in-person stuff too. So there might, obviously there's hotbeds. Washington, D.C., where I am right now, is a hotbed for security. There's a ton of startup angles, in Utah, as well as the traditional California, Silicon Valley, but really you could be almost anywhere make an impact. So hopefully that answers your question.
Certainly. No, it's very helpful. And mm-hmm. You mentioned that the world is changing constantly, so many different challenges. And with this, the world of cybersecurity marketing is changing as well, whether it's work from home. I don't know when RSA 2 years ago, and now it was supposed to happen in February, and now it's moved to June.
Yes.
For some reason, at the same time with the Gartner event, I'm still not sure exactly.
As well as AWS Reinforce is the 28th and 29th of June. So June is like this huge security month.
Yeah, no, but with this, kind of, we have a crystal ball, you can see into the future. What would be the top three themes for cybersecurity marketing 6 months from now, 12 months from now, kind of, and further?
As far as themes, everything about cybersecurity, I believe, is around speed, visibility, and context. There are so many amazing tools out there, but the stack is, the security stack is getting, you know, pretty tall. But the bottom line is, it's about providing context. There are preventive measures, but there's no such thing as preventive cybersecurity. We call it active, being active, proactive. But having the ability to identify and then be able to take action is the key part of cybersecurity. So I don't think the topics are going to change. With everything you're doing, you have to differentiate around those three concepts. How quick can you be in market, or, you know, how quick can you get your customer up and running? What visibility are you truly providing, and what context? Because alert, it's got to be more than alert. It's the take action and what is the auto remediation that can be put in place.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And as far as channels, I know we talked to a lot of executives, and you mentioned you wear a lot of hats, whether it's product marketing, as far as where the business comes, what kind of channels are you focusing on? I know some organizations, we're all inbound. Other organizations, well, we're really focused on face-to-face, and we host small-scale dinners with CISOs. Others rely on channel partners. So for you, what's, and I know it's kind of a moving target a little bit, but between work from home and coming back from COVID, like what works for you now as far as marketing is concerned?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think everyone has done a very big digital push. The key though is having, you know, the right program. So we do a lot of what has personally worked very well for Fidelis Cybersecurity, which is a smaller private equity owned security company. When I came on board, there was no digital strategy. So they had no inbound digital programs. Their website wasn't optimized. Additionally, we did not have a social sprint cadence going, or even a consecutive webinar series. So those were easily identified, and then we put those programs in motion. I'm very proud of the fact that when I came in, you know, again, we're a smaller company. We had just about 6,000 followers on LinkedIn. And within, you know, these last 7 months, we're now right at 10, and we've been invited into the LinkedIn Live type programs that we can now blog on LinkedIn. So it's about really looking at what you have. We need top of funnel, right? You know, it was about driving top of funnel for Fidelis Cybersecurity, but more importantly than just top of funnel, then what are the conversion tactics that we need to do along the way? That's when you get to the more one-to-ones, so on and so forth. To your point, the large venues like RSA, they've been pushed out. So we really haven't done a lot of in-person events, but what we're trying to do is get very creative. We're working with additional marketing programs like Sendoza and Reach Desk that allows us to really package a nice virtual experience for conversion tactics through the pipeline. So that's worked really well for us. Additionally, you know, we have basically gift cards, you know, for demos, so on and so forth. You know, these aren't unique, but in the integrated mix of when you introduce the program, that's what becomes key. We have very set tactics between awareness, consideration, evaluation, and decision. So that's what we're doing. And so far, so good. It is driving up our engagement and ultimately pipeline.
Excellent. Well, we, again, from kind of our position, we talk to a lot to cybersecurity executives, both practitioners and kind of advisors, consultants, and vendors, kind of on both sides of the table. And it seems one of the themes that we're noticing now is that if you look at the kind of buyer journey, problem aware, category aware, solution aware, vendor aware, and then the decision making, it seems that a lot of initial steps, they happen in what some people call dark social, meaning private Slack channels, face-to-face conversations among peers. They're not easily tracked by attribution software. So what are some of your thoughts on how to kind of get your message across and tell your story in some of those areas that may not be, tech may not exist or very fine-tuned that can capture some of that, what you can probably call intent data that kind of happens on the early initial stages, or maybe you're just focusing on, you mentioned top of the funnel and only identifying and talking to executives kind of, they're ready to buy stage. What are your thoughts on
that? Well, I would love to get that list of the ready to buy stage. usually, you know, you have to nurture it a little bit. What we try to do with everything we create bills of materials that give social cards, talk tracks, so on and so forth. So we can not control the message, but give bullet triggers that can be utilized that are going to reinforce our brand. So that's what we're doing. And, you know, we use Marketo. There are many different marketing automation stacks out there, like, you know, owned by Adobe now, Eloqua, so on and so forth, the HubSpots of the world. We're a Marketo shop. But, you know, it's interesting. We just pulled together this attribution that pulls in. We use, you know, our partner portal as Channeltivity. So I'm giving all these like endorsements for all these different companies, Channeltivity. And then we have an inside sales team that uses Loft. So what we do is we design, obviously we control everything that's on Channeltivity. We design all the talking points for our ISRs, which they do on Loft when they are doing their own outbound campaigns. And then we have a very focused, very targeted topic, because we're trying to weave a story in market that we then generate and launch from Marketo. So all of this together works to our advantage. We're doing partner enablement training. So everything that we do internally, we're a channel first. We want to be 100% channel, but we're a channel first organization. Mm-hmm. So with everything we do, we also package for our partners so that they simultaneously can be running alongside aside us, you know, so we actively are working together. You know, we can kind of keep pulse points across everything. So hopefully I answered your question, but really mm-hmm. It's an orchestration. It's mm-hmm. an orchestration. It's not focused in one area. It's really having the broader step back picture to make sure everything is working together.
I see. It's interesting. So basically you are generating demand, but partners actually for the most part kind of fulfill.
Yes, absolutely. We are generating demand and we are absolutely bringing in key partners in areas, you know, with the thought process of we give you one, you'll give us one, right? Because we want additional feet on the street.
For sure. We're actually planning, one of the initiatives for this year, we're planning to conduct a survey among CISOs, well, not just CISOs, but senior cybersecurity executives. And it's essentially titled How CISOs Buy. And I think it's actually what I mentioned is we want to kind of put spotlight on this first initial stages. Where do they go for advice? Where do they get information? How do they educate themselves about cybersecurity problems existing or emerging? How do they evaluate different solutions? How do they go from 50 vendors to a short list of three? Like who would you consider an influencer? Where this information is coming from? How's the decision-making process structured? It's kind of a work in progress, but if you could ask one or two questions along those lines about those first initial stages, problem aware, category aware, solution aware, what would some of those questions be?
Well, it would be the use case that was solved for. So that's ultimately what it's all about. So hopefully I'm answering your question. I think I understood it. But if ever we get time with any CISOs, and we have a CISO advisory, key long time, lifetime value customers that we run everything by. And we're always trying to create smaller venues where it's, basically speaking from the CISO. In fact, our upcoming webinar is going to have from the perspective of the CTO, the CISO, and then the threat research team, because each of them see the same issue differently, or they approach it differently, or it means something differently for them. So we always try to take those perspectives. But the bottom line is, not to be corny, but what's keeping them up at night, based on the engagement we have to date, what has kept them up at night? What have we solved for them? So we can document the detailed case study, be able to articulate the use case that, again, security is horizontal. So even if you're solving for something within healthcare, the case study is applicable to that segment, but the use case possibly can work across multiple segments. So understanding what we solve for, and then, just trying to repeat it. If it's working here, let's see what we can do for you. And let's understand every single time. It's very, very important for Fidelis Cybersecurity, and I think all cybersecurities, to come in from a fiduciary standpoint, to understand what they have so they can best complement. It's not about, it's not about Fidelis. It's about solving for, defeating the adversary. And your other competitive cybersecurity companies, in my mind, that's not the true competition. The adversary is the competition. So understanding what we're solving for is the main goal with any conversations with CISOs or any C titles.
Makes sense. Well, it's kind of like what you mentioned. It's people are not buying a product, they're buying, there is a job
it's
to
a
be
partnership.
Done. Yeah, mm-hmm. And, but also they're addressing a problem. They want the problem to go away. Yep. It's a job to be done. And if the messaging is focused on the job to be done rather than on bells and whistles and buttons, I think that's kind of the message that probably resonates the most, because they obviously worry about themselves and their job and their org and their company, for which the solution is just, is help, kind of helping hand. But yes. That's great. Stephanie, probably the last question. I know different people define marketing differently, and some say that the job of marketing is to make sales easier, but often this relation between sales and marketing is not always kind of perfect. Sometimes incentives are different. What kind of your best practices, and how do you, what would you recommend in terms of communication, incentive structure, goals, to make sure that both teams are kind of aligned and rowing in the same direction?
Well, actually a mentor said this to me very young, and marketing, if you're not carrying a bag, you're in support of those who are carrying the bag. So it is incredibly important to understand the challenges that our sales teams are having so that we can best support them with the programs, with the assets, with the communications, with the talking points they need to have them be successful and move forward. Yes, it is it can be collaborative. It could sometimes be, confrontational, if only you said it this way kind of thing, which is ridiculous. But the bottom line is we have to be in lockstep, and we have to understand and build relationships. I mean, I love being brought out on sales calls. I want to hear what they're dealing with so we can best shape programs and giving them talking points to be better. It is not always marketing is a science. Sales is more exact. So we have to figure out how to best and make them successful. I probably want to do over on that one, but
no, it's great. It's great. No, yeah. It's, as you said, it's a science, but also there is art to it. And
yes, there is. Absolutely.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think it's, It's just, there is so much pressure to perform. There is so much pressure from investors on the board, and the cybersecurity space is getting so crowded. Every time I read TechCrunch or some news source, there's just another company going public or raising, I know, hundreds of millions of dollars and unicorn status.
I never knew unicorns existed as much as today, but they do.
I know. There's like it's literally, I lost count. It's so many, probably hundreds by now, if not thousands of, and a lot of them are actually, I think, cybersecurity and HR tech seems for whatever reason, it's kind of the two spots that are really favored by VCs. As we're kind of, I know we're coming up on time a little bit, but what's your kind of secret weapon and get cutting through that noise and getting your message across to decision makers? You mentioned focusing on the use case and listening in on the conversations to kind of crystallizing the pain points of potential clients and putting this and weaving this in your story. But as far as your advice, whether it's a specific social media channel or specific tech, you mentioned Sendoza and some of the other companies that you use, but what would be kind of your, we're not going to tell anyone, but what would be your secret weapon?
The secret weapon. There's not a silver bullet. I wish there was. If there was a silver bullet, goodness, probably wouldn't need half of us. It is, again, your message has to be crisp. I can't tell you how many small companies I've had the opportunity to work with that say, hey, we are the most, and I'm like, everyone says that. So knowing what your key differentiation is, and again, mapping to speed, visibility, and context. I will tell you, I operate quite a bit in the cloud right now. And so DevOps, you know, if I could make you better, smarter, faster, if you can get your applications out in market, would you be interested in that? And if I could do that to you with this cost point and we can turn it on within under an hour, would that be valuable to you? You almost can work with any company within that scenario. And if you deliver, then you're going to be able to upsell, cross sell. So it's focusing on point of entry based on pain point. Don't try to sell the whole thing. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, just, and plus, people already have a lot of stuff right now, but it's not working super well together. So figure out what is your complement and go from there. Cause it's about improving their lives. Obviously if you make a sale, it improves our lives too, but the whole goal of cybersecurity, I believe, is a service to improving lives. So if you always have that front of mind with all that you're developing around programs is how we can make people better. I think you will be successful.
Absolutely. Stephanie, thank you so much for your time. This was a pleasure.
Very welcome.